In Jesus' name, amen. I'm not going to preach two sermons, it's just one sermon in two parts. So if you were watching ITV, after the first part you'd go and make a cup of tea. But it's not allowed. You get tea afterwards. Okay then, Liam actually read to us the end part, if you like, of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And my kind of sermon theme was Christian community. And I tried to think, the Christian community is not a perfect community, because we are part of it. And we are human beings, and we make mistakes. But the one thing that, I remembered a lot from Bill's sermon last week, but the one thing, and I think Mari would say as well, that she's taken through this week, is those words, a work in progress. We are a work in progress. And the Christian community, Paul gives us a picture of the community as a body. Now I'm going to look at the first bit, and we've not had the reading about this, but you know, when you look at a body, we've all got different kinds of bodies, haven't we? Thank goodness. And it needs all its bits in order to function, in order to work properly. And, you know, some of you guys might look at this here and think, God, I wish I was like that. That, I do not find that attractive. But it doesn't matter what I find attractive, we're looking at the body. And Paul says, you know, you can have a body, and then the foot will say, well, he says right at the beginning, I better go back to the word, haven't I? Christ is like a single body and his church. Those who belong to it are like a body. And for the body itself, it's not made up of just one part. It's got lots of parts. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, that would be stupid, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Of course it would. It would be stupid. He's giving us a picture of a body. If foot said, well, I'm not hand, so I don't belong. Or the hand would say, well, I'm not the foot, so I don't belong. Or the ear would say, well, I'm more important in this. They're not important at all. Or the eye, if the body was just one huge eye, what would happen to the rest? If our hand decided, I'm not going to work today, what would happen? Pardon? If the hand decided I'm not going to work today at home, what would happen? You wouldn't get any dinner. If the hand or if the foot decided I don't feel like doing anything today, what would happen? You wouldn't get up. You wouldn't be able to stand up. It would say, right, I'm on strike. Or the ear would say, right, I'm not functioning. The inner ear, not just the lobe. I'm not functioning today. So if your mum said to you, I want you to go and do the washing up, but your ear wasn't working, you'd just sit there, wouldn't you? Would you? Do you do that anyway? Or if the eye said, oh, I'm just going to go to sleep. I'm not going to open today. What would happen? You wouldn't see anything. So every part of the body, says Paul, is important. And they all need to work together for the good of the body to function. So my hand needs to help my foot by putting on my shoes. My ear has to help when somebody says to me, Norma, could I have a cup of tea? So I'm hearing, and then the hand will go to the kettle and fill the kettle, and then the feet will go and take the cup to the person who's asked for the cup of tea. And the eye will think, was this the right person? Because they're fast asleep on a chair. You see, the body has to function. And Paul is giving us a picture of us, the church. It's no good you saying and coming in, well, I don't want to be part of that lot, but I'll still come. I don't want to do anything, but I'll still come. Because the church needs you. And in the passage that Liam read to us, there were lots of different functions that people had. A teacher, a preacher, an interpreter. They all had different functions. And when he writes to another church, they again have different functions. And for the church to work together, everybody has to work together. It's no good one person saying, I'm more important than you, so you get on and clean the toilets. Or somebody like me saying, because I preach, I'm more important than you. But I'm not. I'm fulfilling part of what the function of the body is. So we all have to learn that we are all important. Now, I want you to turn, you should all have Bibles. I want you to turn to your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I want you to guess what this is. It's a phrase. Three letters, six or seven, and then four. And this explains what the body is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Three words, five or six letters, and four letters. And Daniel, you're not playing. He'll know what it is immediately, do you? 1 Corinthians 12, part of what Liam read to us. Paul says to the people in Corinth. Any of the children, tell me. What would the first word be? You. Paul says to the Corinthians, you. Second word. Ah. Third word, not from this side, this side. Who's awake on this side? You are Christ. Body. You are Christ's body. Hold that thought. You are Christ's body. Now is the time to get your cup of tea. So many things I've got to hold in my hands this morning. This is a chapter, when I read it, I tremble. Don't know about you, but I look at it and I think, oh Lord. How far short of this do I fall? This is the reading that lots of people have at their weddings. Because this is the peak, this is what we would like to be like. Love is a verb. Who can tell me what a verb is? This is not an English lesson. Yes. A doing word. An action word. I have to look it up. Because it's so long since I did adjectives and verbs and nouns. You know, I've forgotten them. But love is a verb. It's a doing word. It's an action word. It's a kind of being word. And Paul is writing about love, and he's talked, or he's written to this church in Corinth. And they're quite, I don't know how big the church was, but they were a church that had lots of gifted people there. Lots of people who had gifts that they used in the church. And they were quite pleased with that. They were quite happy with that. But best of all, says Paul, you've got all these gifts, but best of all, he says, is the following way. I may be able to speak languages of men and even of angels, but have no love, and I sound like this. It's harsh. I don't play it properly, do I? It's not very musical. But it's harsh. It means nothing. It sounds like nothing. And this is what it means if you haven't got love. You can have all the gifts in the world, but if you have no love, if you do not love one another, then they mean nothing, says Paul. The last part of the chapter in 13 tells us faith, hope and love are far more important than other things in the church and other things in your heart. These are the big three. And the biggest of them all is love. Faith, hope and love. And the greatest of these is love. Thus loving other people is not a teeny tiny thing that you can skip over without hurting yourself or put off until you grow up. From the youngest to the oldest, we have to love. It's the thing the Lord wants to see in you and in me more than anything else. And love is number one in the lists of things to do. Loving others is very, very important. Except for loving God, it's the highest thing you are called to do. The beginning of the chapter, love is preeminent. You can do anything you like. You can speak. You can have all knowledge and understand all secrets. You can have faith that can move mountains. But without love, I am nothing. Love is preeminent. And then love is practical. This is the bit where I trembled. Love is patient. I mean, I know that there are, I don't live up to these. And I don't know how many of you do. I don't know how many of you are patient when you're trying to get your kids ready for school and they're on the PlayStation. And you've told them once, you've told them twice to get out of bed. And they're still not out of bed. Do you go up there very lovingly and you say, come on now, get out of bed. Come on now. Get out of bed! I'm running up! Then they get out of bed. Your patience has been tested. Not that I'm saying it's kind of wrong to, you know, hurry them up, because it's not. It's how we use our love, how we understand our love. Because it's loving also to tell our kids or to tell whoever where they're going wrong. Not that you do in a judgmental way, but because you love them, because you care for them. And I have to chuckle when Paul writes, love does not keep a record of wrongs. My husband is convinced I have a computer in my brain that goes back to the day we were married. And I can bring every argument, everything that he ever did wrong, up in his computer. Sunday the 15th of May, you did. You don't do that, do you? You shouldn't do it. Because it doesn't help your relationship when you say to them, look, you did done this or done that, and that really hurt me, and you did it 15 years ago. The trouble is your mind doesn't switch off. But you have to think about things, and you have to say, love must come first. Love is preeminent. Love is practical. I want to read to you a version that I really like. It's not read very often now. It's J.B. Phillips. The love of which I speak is slow to lose patience. It looks for a way of being constructive. It is not possessive. It is neither anxious to impress, nor does it cherish inflated ideas of its own importance. Love has good manners and does not pursue selfish advantage. It is not touchy. It does not keep account of evil or gloat over the wickedness of other people. On the contrary, it is glad with all good men when truth prevails. And Paul writes fantastic words. Love knows no limit to its endurance, no end to its trust, no fading of its hope. It can outlast anything. It is in fact the one thing that still stands when all else falls. And I think, you know, Paul had that experience, his own experience of difficulties with people whom he worked with and within the church, where they had arguments, where they had differences of opinions. He still had to love, and so do we. So love is preeminent, love is practical, and love, oh. Didn't expect that. Want me a minute. There we are. Love is permanent. It will never end. All things will end apart from love, says Paul. All our inconsistencies, all our deficiencies, love will remain over all of them. So we as a church community are part of the body of Christ. We are to work together to function as the body of Christ. Our aim is to love and to care and to be the people that God wants us to be. And when Paul wrote to another church, he said, "It's not as if I've already got there, but I keep running to achieve the prize at the end." And that's all of us. He is saying what Bill said last week. He is a work in progress. We are works in progress. And if anything we take away this week is that picture of us as the body of Christ, and also how Christ wants us to love and to care for one another. Now, I'd like to read to you this prayer. And it was written a long time ago by a lady called Teresa. "Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks with compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours."